And welcome back. It's midday on this Monday. I'm joined now by Erica Bridgeford, one of the co-founders of Baltimore Ceasefire 365. The group's mission is the cessation of murder for one weekend every quarter. The first ceasefire weekend was held last August. It ended with two homicides. Over this past ceasefire weekend, the city saw 72 hours pass again with some shootings and two fatalities. The event, which was intentionally scheduled to coincide with Mother's Day, is the second ceasefire event that has had that same outcome. Erica joined us this past February after the first ceasefire event that had zero homicides. That ceasefire continued on for a record-breaking 12 consecutive days without a murder here in Baltimore City. That ceasefire was early in the tenure of Police Commissioner Daryl D'Souza, and it coincided with what the commissioner described then as a sweep of certain neighborhoods and more than 400 arrests on outstanding warrants. Since then, in April, the city did experience an increase in killings, which many attribute to gang-related retribution. And on Friday, Commissioner D'Souza was suspended with pay pending the resolution of federal charges that he did not file income tax returns for the 3 years between 2013 and 2015. So how long will this armistice last? Our city still averages a homicide every 19 hours, but clearly, Baltimore ceasefire is having a very positive effect. You are welcome to join our conversation with Erica Bridgeford. We are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. If you'd like to talk to Erica and make a comment or have a question, 410-662-8780. Our email midday at WYPR.org and our Twitter handle at midday WYPR. Erica, it's really great to see you.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, thank you. So we're having you on after every ceasefire.
That's awesome.
I'm reminded of the great theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, mm-hmm. who said, think in terms of what people suffer, not in terms of what they do. And that seems to me, to a certain extent, to kind of sum up what you're talking
about.
That's
exactly right. Yeah. So we are paying attention to how much pain the city is in, how much hopelessness the city has, and how much resilience and love the city actually has to address its own pain and hopelessness. And so that's the energy of this movement. So to see this past weekend go. So first of all, as organizers, we were very excited that we started the weekend with life already, because nobody got killed on Thursday. So to go the entire weekend, there were two shootings that didn't result in people dying. There was a child abuse and the baby died. The children of that mom are right now defending their mom, saying that she didn't kill the baby. So we're right now calling it alleged, because we don't, you know, as we're paying attention to what family members are saying, we're not sure. What we do know is that there was no community violence that had murder this weekend. And so Baltimore went 4 days without a shooting or stabbing resulting in anybody losing their life, and with only two shootings. And we've seen in April that so April had 12 days where more than two people were killed in it. April also had 4 days straight where nobody got killed, but there were certainly more than two shootings within that 4-day period. So what we see is that when people have been doing work together to make one weekend filled with love and life, that energy not only resonates in the city, but it impacts people's choices and it impacts the way the city moves for those 3 days.
And this is a movement that is gaining momentum. With each one that you do,
it has to.
More people, it does, in
it
fact.
It has to, because a movement can't move without people, you know, like it needs people to move. We're purposely not an organization. It's purposely an effort. And so the effort is for you to figure out what is the little thing or big thing that you can do to either impact violence in the city, help to reduce it, or to affirm life. Plan life-affirming events, pour love into the city. How can you respond to murder differently? So you can join the Sacred Sevens that we do after each person gets killed in the city. So from either trying to prevent violence or celebrate life or in the aftermath of murder, there's something you can do to be a part of this movement.
Let's talk about the Sacred Sevens. Explain to folks how that works.
Yeah, so it's a sacred space ritual, which basically means that every single time someone is killed in Baltimore, we go to the actual spot where the murder happened, and we pour light and love into it. And so we burn sage in the entire neighborhood to help remove negative and stagnant energy that's there. And then literally get on the ground where a body fell. We get in that space, kiss the concrete, pour love and compassion into it, honor the light of the person we lost, but also the person who committed the murder. Right? Because what we know is that people are not born murderers, and that there were things that happened on this person's journey that led them to this moment. And if you ask people who know them, they are not just a murderer. They're a whole being having a whole experience. And if we can't pour light and love into their journey and hope and wish something better for them, we're not going to heal the murder epidemic. We also know many people in the city can point to somebody they know who committed murder at some point in their life and turned their life around. Right. And became someone that's helping to save the city. And so you just don't know what a person's journey could be, even after they've reached their darkest place.
You are connected to our communities in a way that the police are not connected, in a way that the political leadership is not connected, in a way that the scholarly community who studies things like, you know, murder rates and homicide, and all that kind of stuff. You are on the ground talking to folks day in and day out. They have the ceasefire weekends take place four times a year, but your effort continues, you know, 365 days a year. For example, when we hear from the police or from the people who study this kind of thing that the uptick in violence in April is caused by retaliation for problems that internecine problems between gang members. Mm-hmm. Do you buy that explanation? What are folks on the street telling you? Do you have a different explanation for why some months there are more murders than others?
So I think that when there's an we know, right? When something is an epidemic, it's a dis-ease. And so there are things that cause it. So even if you just take the explanation that it's retaliation, well, what is that about? That is about people in our culture not knowing how to handle their conflicts, right? And so if the way I handle conflict is I'm going to get you before you get me, or the way I handle conflict is I'm going to listen to what everybody is telling me you said, that happens every single day all around this country, because there is really nowhere that consistently makes conflict resolution a part of how we function. And so if you take that and then you add on top of it living in criminal conditions, and it's easier to get a gun than it is to get fresh fruits and vegetables in your neighborhood, and you don't know how to deal with conflict, then yeah, anything that's happening that I don't like, if I had a gun in my pocket at the right time when you said something to me, many more people would be shooting if this amount of guns were poured into every community, right? And so I think that it's going to be the kind of thing you see a rise and fall in, because that's what an epidemic is. So we have to treat it like the public health issue that it is. So I can't speak to whether or not there were, well, I do know some things, but because I don't want the reputation of saying what I know in public spaces, I'm not going to say what I know about different things that have happened around the city in April. What I will tell you is that everybody is tired of going to funerals. Everybody is tired of murder. When murders are happening, oftentimes it's because people really don't know that there's another way. They haven't been taught another way. They're afraid to take another way. They don't think another way would be effective. And so we need movements. We need a culture that teaches there are other ways that are more effective than ending somebody's life.
I respect your choice not to talk about what you may know or not know in public spaces, but have you been able to share whatever information you have with law enforcement authorities or the mayor's office or community organizations, Safe Streets, folks who are working to the same end, different mm-hmm. methods perhaps mm-hmm. than you, but the same end?
Yeah. So the places that you have mentioned, know basically the same information that I know, right? So homicide detectives, safe streets, right? They're talking to neighbors and friends and loved ones. So that's the reason you hear the narrative if there's retaliation or what the situations were. So once in a while, there may be a family member or a loved one or somebody close to a situation who comes to a Sacred Seven or reaches out to us and will say specific details about things that happened that I don't share with anybody. That is my ethical commitment, right? That I do not want to put people in a position that they don't have a safe place to dump what they are going through. So I don't have information that impacts whether or not you find a murderer. I do have information about, well, I do hear stuff about who a person was who got murdered, who a person really is who committed a murder, and what's going on for them. So that is the part of doing human being work, right? And so I want people to have a safe space to, and I feel honored that people don't know me from a can of paint, but because I showed up in their neighborhood to care that somebody got killed there, then I'm a safe space for them to tell me what they're going through.
We have a caller, Jacob in Baltimore. Welcome to Midday with Erica Bridgeford. We have about a minute left. If you could make your question real quick, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I guess really it's more of a comment than a question. You know, there's just an utter lack of respect for life in Baltimore. And I understand where you're coming from with the retaliation and everything you're saying. It does make sense of people not knowing any better. But take the poor victim of the train accident last week. He was his body was dragged for, what, 2-3 blocks or something like that? And then there's people taking videos of his body ripped in half, guts everywhere. It was a very visceral scene, and people are jumping around, laughing, smiling, throwing up hand signs.
Okay, well, thanks for the comment, Jacob. I mean, Erica, people do talk about this, you know, sort of culture of callousness.
That very comment, this person that called in just now gave a very vivid description. Right. And so they are taking part in the very thing that they're commenting about. I have not seen any of the pictures. This person just put the image in my head when they called here just now. So there's a level of numbness that all of us function in, because it took a level of numbness to call in to make a point about what people are sharing. And you just shared it verbally and put the vision in everybody's head who's listening right now. You just did the same thing.
Erica Bridgeford, we will stay in touch with you, and we will talk to you again after
Thank
the
you.
Next one, and we will keep in touch on this.
Thank
I promise.
You very much.
Erica Bridgeford, one of the co-founders of Baltimore Ceasefire. The next Baltimore Ceasefire public meeting is on Tuesday the 29th. That's the day after Memorial Day at the Ark Church on East North Avenue. Come to WIPR.org/midday for all the information on that. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, as the region continues to come to grips with the sudden death of Baltimore County Executive Kevin Kamenetz, we're going to talk about the impact that his passing is having on the Baltimore County political landscape and the Democratic primary race for governor. Brian Sears, Pam Wood will join us to talk about that. Plus, we're going to talk about the new show at the Everyman Theater. That's coming up tomorrow on Midday. Want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. I'm Tom Hall. On behalf of the entire Midday team, thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.